Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hey! I will just say, while I'm stood here, it's great to have Brian with us, because the really good news this morning is you've not got to listen to me droning on all morning, because Brian's going to be speaking to us. Thank you for that encouragement. So we really look forward to what Brian's got to say to us later on this morning. We will be having a week of prayer and fasting starting on the 10th of September. So I do encourage you to watch out for that and to join us in that. If you haven't seen, we have a fantastic new prayer room that's been decorated and laid out for us. And if you haven't seen it, it's open. You can go and have a look. Please don't go until the end of the service. Don't make me feel even more paranoid. But it's just straight through the end there. If you want to go and have a look, do talk to us. If you want to go and use that at any time, I know we've got a week coming up of prayer, but if you want to use it any time, talk to us. We'll make sure you can get a key and you can get in to that space. One of the things you can be praying about is Alpha, which starts at the end of this month. If you're interested in knowing a little bit more about what Christianity is all about, asking some big questions, then grab a leaflet at the end. They're right behind where Sophie's standing. She's listening as well. Fantastic. And Gail is modelling them. So do grab one of those at the end, or just turn up. I think what's the date? Remind me the date. I'm glad I'm not the only one who can't remember off the top of my head. It's about 26th or 29th. 26th. It's there. Why didn't you all shout? On the 26th. I've got the 29th in my head, but that's my mum's birthday, so that's why that's there. And finally, one really, really important thing. On the first Thursday of every month is Lunch Club. And I know some of you go to Lunch Club, do you? Yes? Is it great? Are you looking forward to this Thursday? Good. If anyone who doesn't normally go could go and help, they are very short-staffed because everybody's going on holiday. So if anyone's available on Thursday, talk to Julie and she will give you more information. Is it kitchen or... Yeah, kitchen. Helping in the kitchen. You don't have to be an expert chef. There is a head chef who will be in charge. But somebody to help out would be really, really greatly appreciated. Let's praise God. So as part of the big family of God, let's just pray. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to meet here this morning with each other and to meet with you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you that as we meet, we know you are present by the power of your Spirit. So speak to us this morning. Let us worship you this morning. Let us learn from you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please do take a seat. So we're going to hear this morning about just how much God has done for us in some of the things that Brian's going to say to us. But to begin with, we're just going to take a moment just to say sorry to God for the things we've done, we shouldn't have done, or the things that we didn't do that we know we should have done. Words for the service this morning will all appear on the screen. There are printed copies if you do find it difficult to read. Just ask for one from the back. But I know the printed copy might have the wrong words on for this confession because the wrong bit got put in. So we pray. We are often slow to follow the example of Christ. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We often fail to be known as Christ's disciples. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We often fail to walk in the way of the cross. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So, we're going to take you back in time take your minds back. Now, most of you won't be able to go back this far. We're going to go back nearly 2,000 years. It's Sunday morning, the 2nd of September. It's 10:45 in the morning. And somebody is sitting writing something really important.
So I turn on my 2,000-year-old microphone. I didn't see you there. I have been really busy writing a story, and it's nearly finished. It's nearly finished, not quite. My name is John. I've spent a long time. I've been gathering my memories together. I've been writing about my friend Jesus. Jesus and I did so much together that it was really difficult to try to choose which bits to write about and which bits to leave out. I mean, just look at it, all these discarded bits that I couldn't include. I chose to write about the things that I thought were most important about our time together, about the miracles that I saw Jesus perform, the times I heard him say such things as, "I am the bread of life." And I also chose to write a lot about the last week of his life, the sadness, but then the great joy. You see, I want people who read what I've written, I want them to be convinced that Jesus is more than just a man, more than just a moral teacher or a miracle maker or a political or a religious radical. He was so much more than that, because Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one who was sent by God to show all people, everyone, the way to salvation. More than this, Jesus is God's Son. He's one with God. He's God on earth. He's God incarnate. He's the only way to know God. The only way to find life. Yes, I know. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which I've not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in his name, you may have life. Yes, I like that. I reckon just one more chapter to go and I'll be there. I hope that when this story's finished, it will be read for many years to come. And I do hope the people who read it will believe in Jesus, and they'll know God himself for themselves.
We're looking this morning at John's Gospel because over the next 7 weeks, we're going to have a series of sermons that are all taken from John's Gospel. And they are seven specific things that John includes, miracles that he calls signs. But first of all, I just want to briefly introduce you to John. Now, we heard John here say some of the things about himself. He had been with Jesus all through his life. John, in fact, was the youngest of all Jesus' disciples. And he was the only one who actually lived to old age and died a natural death. All the others were put to death for one reason or another. Their following Jesus meant that they lost their lives. But John actually lived to old age. And John was so close to Jesus that he actually describes himself as the disciple closest to Jesus. And we find him with his head on Jesus' shoulder at the Last Supper. And we find that when Jesus was put on the cross, John was there most of the other disciples had slunk away. And when Jesus looked down and saw his mother Mary and John, he said to his mother, "Here is your son." And he said to John, "Here is your mother." And then we read that Mary went and lived with John from then on. So John must have had access through Mary to so much of Jesus' early life, even before he came in contact with him. So John was in this position where he had a mass of material. Also, he'd lived long enough to see the other gospel writers write their gospels, and he would have read them. But strangely, he doesn't include a lot of what's in the other gospels. They're all very similar and are sometimes called the synoptic gospels because you can do a sort of synopsis that pulls it all together. But John is very different. And so we have a man who actually tries to put together something that is going to have a focus. And he goes back much, much further than any of the other gospel writers. In fact, he goes back to the beginning of time. So if you want to follow the reading, it's in first one is in John 1, and it's on page 116 in the Bible. I'm just going to read the first five verses. "Before the world was created..." Whoa, that's a long time ago. "Before the world was created, the Word already existed." John uses that word, meaning Jesus. "He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out." Now, this little bit at the beginning and the verses that follow it are what's sometimes called the prologue. You've probably read a book that started with a prologue. It was just usually to set the scene so that you understood what happened when you started reading the actual story. This is John's prologue. He goes right back to before creation. And then he tells us that this Word became flesh. He actually became a human being and lived on this earth. He lived among us. And then he puts in verse 12, one of my favorite verses. He speaks about the fact that he wasn't welcomed. The people, the Jewish people to whom he came, ignored him and rejected him. But it says, "Some, however, did receive him and believed in him, and he gave them the right to become God's children." If you've received Jesus, if you know Jesus, then you are a child of God. I'm a child of God. We're brothers and sisters. The Queen is a child of God. Praise God for that. But she is. And in that sense, she is equal to all of us. Whatever you think of yourself, however you think of yourself, it isn't the job you do. It isn't what you've achieved. Who you are is supremely, if you're a believer in Jesus, you are a child of God because you've received and believed. That was John's passion. That's what consumed him and motivated him to write this book. And that's why he took so much care. He had to throw so much into his waste paper basket because he was trying to select the things that would help people to come to that point if they weren't already there. And so we find that the way he's done his gospel is that there's three more sections. We're going to have two other short readings. First one in John chapter 20, and verse 30 to 31, which you will recognize because you already heard John say these words. Where John tells us the purpose of his book. In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life. And the last verse of the last chapter, now then, there are many other things that Jesus did. If they were all written down one by one, I suppose the whole world couldn't hold the books that would be written. But Jesus chose these things, and particularly the miracles, which we call, or John calls, the signs. The word really means a signpost. A couple of weeks ago, Ruth and I decided we'd go to Ickworth House, the National Trust property. We've been there a couple of times previously, but I remembered that the last time we went, we seemed to go a terribly roundabout way to get there. So I thought I would look up on the National Trust site what their instructions for getting there were. And I found that it said, it gave the address with the postcode, and then it says, do not use this in your sat-nav. Oh, I thought, that's why I got lost the last time. Follow the signposts. Oh, obviously the entrance that the public go in is not where the building is with the postcode. So I knew it was on the Haverhill Road out of Bury St. Edmunds, so we got to Bury St. Edmunds, and there at the roundabout, oh yeah, there's the signpost. And then we come to the next roundabout, there's another signpost. And we just followed the signposts, and we got there. Now there's a sense in which John has given us these seven miracles. There's three healing ones, and they don't appear in any of the other Gospels. He chose them specifically. But it wasn't just healings. He chose these seven to cover the whole area of life that Jesus can transform. Just going to very briefly have a look at them. So if you've got your sheet that you were given when you came in, if you would like to, and if there are any boys and girls who want to, you can get a pencil. Sophie's got some pencils, and you can either draw a picture or write in there what you want. We're going to see some pictures go up on the screen. Let's have a look at the first one. Changing water into wine. Now, we've all heard about that. In a sense, it's such a mundane thing. At a particular wedding that Jesus was at in Cana, they ran out of wine. And the whole emphasis of that story was the fact that they asked Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that she told them to ask Jesus. And Mary just said, do what he tells you to do. And you see, each of these signs, we've got to look at them and we've got to start thinking, now, what is it that I've got to learn from this sign that's going to take me forward in my walk towards really knowing Jesus? And the water into wine? Well, tell Jesus about your problem and then do what he says. We're much better at telling him about the problem rather than doing what he says. Something we'll have to learn. The second one, healing the officials, the royal official's son. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Jesus and the boy never met. The royal official comes to Jesus and says, my son's really ill. I believe you can help me. Will you come to my house? And Jesus says, go, your son has been healed. What that man had to do was to believe. I think to myself, well, would I started arguing with Jesus? He needs you to come and touch him. No, he doesn't. He needs me to believe. Really believing what Jesus says. That's the challenge of the second sign. The third sign, healing the man who was paralyzed, often called the paralytic, not a nice term that we sometimes use in other contexts today. He'd been lying for 38 years by the pool in Bethesda. And the pool by Bethesda had healing waters, and he would see other people going in and being healed, but he couldn't get himself in. And Jesus comes to him, and he asks him a question. Do you want to be well? Whoa, that's a big question. On the surface, you'd think it's obvious he wants to be well. He keeps coming here. But that wasn't the only time that Jesus asked that question, because Jesus knew, and we probably know, we can get so used to illness and difficulties that we'd rather keep with them because we know them, rather than risk having to get used to life without them. The challenge. Do you actually want Jesus to answer your questions, your problems? Then we come to the fourth one, the feeding the 5,000. There we got the two little pictures there. The boy, the only one who actually brought any food. And he gave it to Jesus for the The disciples brought it to Jesus and said, this is all that we've got. And Jesus multiplied it. In the end, there were 12 basketfuls left over. He can multiply it. Give what we have to Jesus and he will multiply it. Then the sixth one, no, it's the fifth one. Disciples were in the boat. Going out, Jesus hadn't come, so they got in the boat and went. Get into the water, and it starts getting all choppy, and then they see Jesus walking, and they nearly freak out. Jesus meets us when we are afraid, in the middle of the problem. And as we respond to him, he brings peace. They invited him to come into the boat. The sixth one was the man who had been blind from birth. And Jesus, he spat on the ground, and then he picked up the dirt with his spittle in it and rubbed it on the man's eyes. Jesus can release us from lifelong problems. It's not just things that have recently happened, but things that we've lived with all through our lives. And then the seventh sign was the raising of Lazarus. Jesus has power over death. Now, after the seven signs that Jesus puts into, John puts into his gospel, that occupies the first 12 chapters, because there's usually a little bit of teaching around them. Like after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. But the next section from chapter 13 onwards is all taken up with an account of how Jesus moves to Jerusalem, his death and his resurrection. Because John's passion is that people following the signs, as it were, would find the reality of Jesus, the Savior who came and is alive. and that they too would become children of God. Now, there's some people who have suggested that there is an eighth sign. John doesn't call it a sign, but it's that chunk at the latter part of his gospel, which is about Jesus' own resurrection. Because John was one of those who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, who spent time with him, who had breakfast with him. Jesus was eating after he rose from the dead. He wasn't just an ethereal ghost. And the picture just shows and reminds us that when Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't that he disappeared. The clothes that his body had been wrapped in were there, but the body had gone from inside them. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, and it may well be that John was familiar with this because he wrote after Paul did. John wrote, "All will be raised to life because of their union in Christ. But each one will be raised in proper order. Christ first of all, then at the time of his coming, those who belong to him. Then the end will come. Christ will overcome all spiritual rulers, authorities, and powers, and will hand over the kingdom to God the Father." And those words of Paul just sort of bring the account of John's gospel to a neat conclusion, in a sense, because John goes back to the before the creation of the world. And his passion is that people receive and believe in Jesus, because he knows that the end of the world, Jesus is going to be the focus, and we need to be ready for whenever that comes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came into this world to bring us life and to bring us freedom. And we thank you for all the ways in which we have personally experienced Jesus. And we ask, Father, that you would enable us over these coming weeks, as we look at each of these signposts, that we might follow and that we might find more of your love flooding our lives and flowing out from us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Oh, good. Let's be confident, because our God gives us confidence. Do take a seat. The reason I ask, do you believe that? It's because we've come to our time of prayer. Our time, technically called intercessory prayer, means we stand between the world and God. It means we intercede. We talk to God on behalf of everybody who needs him. Now, I did a very strange... I've never done this before on a Sunday morning. I went and found Tesco's, and I bought a newspaper. Why have I bought the Sun, I hear you ask? Any suggestions? The crossword. No, we haven't looked for the crossword. It's possibly easier than some of the other papers. Other papers are available. It's a big crossword. It's like a large print crossword. Now, the reason that I bought the Sun is I had a little look last night, and this paper has the highest circulation on a Sunday morning. I don't know exactly what it is, but there are probably more people reading that paper than there are listening to the Word of God this morning. I don't know. But there's a lot of people reading it. So, John wrote a message for people to hear what Jesus had done. This provides a message and tells me what's going on in the world. So we're going to use it to pray. Julie and I had a look through this morning. Julie's helping me because otherwise I'd have bits of paper going everywhere. We had a look through this morning to see what is news, what is the world going on about today. It's a bit like they do on the radio, isn't it? And go through the papers. We've picked out some of our stories, but we're going to use them to pray for this morning. Now, if, as I tell you what the story is, anybody says, actually, can I pray for that? Just head up here. Yeah, I don't have to do the praying. Anyone can do the praying. I will pray if nobody else leaps up, but these are the stories that we've picked out this morning. Declan Donnelly, you know who I mean? Of Ant and Dec. You seen he's just become a father for the first time? It's absolutely brilliant. What's baby Isla? Baby Isla. And Isla Elizabeth Ann. So we're just going to pray and thank God for that new life. Is that all right? Unless anybody else wants to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for new life in the world. We thank you that we can hear about it. We thank you for new life in this very building, because I can hear her right now. Lord, thank you for the blessing that baby Isla is going to be. We pray that over her life, you will get to her. You will meet her and she will come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yes. Anybody heard of someone called Meghan Markle? And a guy called Harry, who she knows. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about. They've just adopted a puppy. I don't think we haven't got a picture of the puppy, but they have adopted a puppy called Oz. So it got us thinking about all sorts of things. That very word adoption means so much to some of us. It is what our life is. You know, it's so core to our life, whether we are adopted or whether we are adopters. In actual fact, Jesus says we are all adopted into God's family. So we are all able to be God's adopted children. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the heart you give people for adoption in this world, to help those who, without that, would potentially have nothing or very little. We pray for adoptive parents. We pray for those they adopt. And we thank you that you call us all to be adopted into your family. Amen. What's next? Kirsty Young. Do you know Kirsty Young? What does she do? Desert Island Discs. Don't know if you've heard, she's going to take some time out from Desert Island Discs. She's got fibromyalgia. So we're just going to take a moment just to think about those who are ill. This is a hidden illness, what's sometimes termed a hidden illness, because it's not visible on the outside, not easily visible. Mental illness. It's not visible on the outside. There are so many and they're becoming more and more to the fore. And it's so easy to hide them. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you heal. You promise healing. Jesus, when you were here, we've heard about three of the healing miracles you performed. You want us to receive so much blessing from you. And you want us to be a blessing to the world. So we pray now for your healing power to break out in this world through us. Pray that you will give us the faith to go forth and heal as you called us to. We pray for Kirsty as she takes some time off. We pray that you will touch her and you will heal her. Put your people around her, Lord. And we pray for those whom we know who are ill at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Other supermarkets are available. What we saw here was not who's selling this, but what they're selling. It's food. There are people who don't have enough food. There are people who don't have enough food living in our streets, around us. Never mind the pictures we see on the television from far, far away where people don't have enough food. Let's pray for them. Lord God, as we who so often have enough that we end up having to throw food away, we pray for those who don't have enough. We pray that you will give us the heart to get food to local places that can help, to find to places like that, Lord, families in need. I pray that you will bless them as an organisation as they seek to bless people in our own locality. Amen. Is this the last one? Oh, it's there. It's a little bit at the bottom, as opposed to the bill. As many of you know, I'm not a football-following person, but I have heard of a guy called Gareth Southgate. And he's got a little bit in here. I'll just read you this. Gareth Southgate hopes his World Cup heroes can maintain the standards set in Russia this summer. He's added, "We are coming off the back of a very successful summer. There is a good foundation for us to build on." As a football team, he wants them to keep their eye on the ball, to keep following the goal that they've set themselves, to keep aiming towards the prize. And that's what Jesus calls us to keep our eye on him, to keep following him forever. So let's pray. Lord God, we pray for ourselves. We pray that you will help us to keep our eye on the ball. You will help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord. We pray that, as Paul says, as we run this race, we will keep our eyes on the prize. The prize is simply an eternity with you, Lord. An eternity in your presence, worshipping you, being with you, being friends with you, as you always intended for us to be. Thank you that you came to set us free. Thank you that all we have to do is ask. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we say together the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We've talked about an awful lot of different things this morning, and we've talked a lot about what Jesus has done for us, about how we can be with him. If you want to know more about that, or if you just want to talk with someone this morning, then we're here. We're happy to talk and pray with you. I'll be around at the end. Brian and Ruth will be, Gail's, I'm sure, running around doing all sorts of things. We'll be serving tea and coffee at the back. Do stay and have a drink with us. If you want someone to talk or pray with you, just either come and sit down at the front or come and grab one of us or sit up there. We'll come and find you. I think as Brian said, we want to meet you where you are, just as God does. So may God, who gives patience and encouragement, give you a spirit of unity to live in harmony as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you now and remain with you always. Amen.